for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2014 Labor Day Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Monday morning, September the 1st, 2014. Kyle Neese is the speaker of this service, teaching on A Fog in Need of a Tower.
Brother Kyle, come and pray over me.
When I was in college, I made fun of a guy that was my roommate. He was about 6 years older than me. He worked for Halliburton, came back to school, and gave his life back to the Lord. And he was studying to be a preacher, and he got asked to go down to Eagle Pass, Texas, to preach in a little church, and he asked me to go do the music. And it was kind of like, I didn't know what I was doing. I just said, you stand up there and just kind of like, give us an oration and kind of lead everybody. The music was back then. We were just all hymns. So I was leading. Boy, we got done at this little church. I think they just had the windows open in Eagle Pass, Texas. You can just imagine right there, the border. He had just been on the other side of the border. And we were on the back. He got worked up. He had a suit on. That suit, you can imagine, hot about August. He went work. He was lathered up. That suit was just solid sweat. He got up there in the bathroom. And he worked up. He looked like a racehorse. I made fun of him. I thought, I'm all kind of lathered up. He's doing good. I guess you get back with you. I want to share a word with you, but I appreciate David. I'm glad he came. I appreciate his heart to play, because a lot of people, it'd be easier not to do that. I mean, sometimes. We'll see if I can come on. But back when he was in high school, I used to try to get him. I had a guitar that I was trying to give him. I said, David, if you'll take this guitar. I think I was trying to give it away, so I could give it, can I get another one? I guess, I really thought that he could really say, he knew he could play music. He always played the drums. He told me one time, I think I shared this before, we were getting in the truck, going to church one Sunday morning, and he left mom and David come back after, coming a little later. He said, Daddy, I really like going to church. I said, really? He's about, 8 or 10 years old. And, hey, I really like going to church. I said, well, why is that? We went out to church. It was kind of on a piece of land out, a metal building sitting out in the middle of the field. You might run over a chicken getting in there, some of the people that lived out there. Anyway, it was a nice place to meet. You had to go back out in this piece of property. We have a lot of people, he said, I like going to church. And I said, really? Why? And he said, yeah, because I get to play the drums. I get to participate. He could have a part. I thought, what a rich thing. There are people who have a lavish setups, but for a young man to be able to stand up and for a body to receive him and share his heart and to preach what God's given him, praise God for that. Praise God for a place where the young folks wouldn't be despised, but encouraged to get up at a place. Sometimes we get things where it's got to be so picture perfect. You don't dare get up unless it's picture perfect. I used to sing in a big church, and they'd say, you put your makeup on before you get up there, because your cameras, your face would shine off. And they were broadcasting it nationally, and you'd down there getting your makeup on, and they'd say, now don't you say, you just get up there and sing your song. And I didn't like just to sing. I wanted to be able to share my heart. As to why I was singing, and how my heart was moving that moment, because I figured I could get a little more out of it that way. We don't have time for that. Of course, there are time constraints with TV, but I'm thankful for a small place where someone would say, I'm thankful that I get to come because I get to participate. Yeah. Thank God for this place. It's a place where God gets to participate with us and lets us participate. I tried to give him my guitar, and he didn't want it. There was no interest in it. We left for college. And he didn't really have any interest. I put that in his hands and I could play. So I had to take a chance. I bought another guitar. Got him for his graduation. I gave him a guitar. So I'm going to give you this guitar. He was like, kind of off. Because to be honest, I don't think he could play it. He had to do a few chords. But I knew there was enough knowledge that he could play the piano and the drums. And he's only been playing the guitar just a little while. to prove my theory. My theory is proof, and I took that in his hands. God can do the rest. I thank you. I keep playing for God's glory. I try to always instill that in you. It's just no use in play. If you're not playing for God's glory, you don't want to play for your own. If you do that, well, you make a big mistake. God gives you a gift. It's for a reason. To use it for His glory. And, you know, anyway, I want just us to begin the same way we've begun the last 2-3 times. We just begin that with that song, you know, about the name of the Lord. Start with Jesus. Can someone start for me? Jesus.
Jesus, 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 there's just something about that name that serves.
Freedom. The freedom He allows us to receive. You know, when He lets you run a little bit, He gives you a little freedom. He wants you to repeat those successes of freedom so that you might find victory. I don't know what that's worth in your life, but God wants us, and He was keeping your deliverance, keeping your liberty. There was an old preacher came from Africa, and he said he had a series he wanted to preach, Stand Fast in the Liberty series. That was his series, Stand Fast in the Liberty. God says, Stand Fast in the Liberty. He's given it. You know, giving you liberty, He wants you to stand fast, hold your ground. He wants us to keep that, maintain that. You know, He wants us to repeat those successes of freedom so that we might experience a victory. This may sound like another repeat, rewind message, but, you know, I feel like this is what the Lord wanted, so it's necessary for your benefit, no trouble for me. You know? And guess what John said? You know, if I'm repeating myself, you know, the first, second, third John just repeats itself over and over. He was thought to be the disciple, and that love had a hold of him. Is that right? He was somebody who knew something about Jesus' love. He leaned back on Jesus' breast. He had a place with Jesus. It was some special kind of love. He was a disciple who sort of left. That's all. I don't know. What if I let him till you remain? Peter, what's that to you? You know, he had a special place. You take care of my mother. You know, is that right?
Yeah.
There was something special about there. He knew something about, you know, the relationship that he had with John and love. And he said that it's necessary to get it. It's no trouble for me. I think he said that. Maybe it was Paul or Peter. I don't remember. Maybe I got it wrong. But anyway, it sounds right.
Yeah.
You must take it for His word. I pray. There's a scripture in Psalm 113:3 that I read this morning. It says, if I can get it right, why don't you turn there and someone read it? Psalm 113:3. I can't read my scribble. Just to kind of give me an idea of what the verse is saying. It has to do with God's name, His name being praised, but just someone read it out when you get it. Psalm 113:3.
From the rising of the sun until the going down of the same, the Lord's name is being praised.
You want to find victory? There you go. There's your victory. From the rising to the setting, if you begin to set your mind on Him, and set your mouth for praise, do not complain. You know, a little song you sang. And we begin to set our get our heart right. Suddenly He begins to outfit us. You know, Jesus, the outfitter for glory. You know what I'm saying? He wants to outfit our life with glory. It's from the rising of the sun to the setting of the sun. Setting of the sun. The Lord, the name of the Lord is to be praised. His name. The song says His name is wonderful. Proverbs 18:10, a familiar place, you'll know it. It says, the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The New Living says that the strong tower is a strong fortress. The name of the Lord is a strong fortress. It's a strong tower, the King James says. New American, I think. I didn't read the King James, but it's a strong fortress, a strong tower. The name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and save. You know, that's a comfort, isn't it? I mean, just as sure as I don't know, Mickey, you did say sometimes getting up in the morning. Someone said sometimes getting up early. Getting up in the morning, there's nobody to bother you. I forget who should have shared that. But sometimes you rise early, there's no one to bother you. There's a safe place with the Lord He wants us to get in that place. Turn to John 16:33. I was kind of wrestling, not really, I already felt like the Lord had confirmed to me. He wanted me to share this. I thought about it, you know, the first night. I thought, no, for some reason, I had no interest in the first night. It's amazing how sometimes it's like you think, it's like, this isn't it. This is not the right thing. And I had a confirmation I felt like in my heart. And then last night, Carla's message, you know, her message, you know, basically, I think, even added more confirmation, you know, for this. That, you know, there's going to be some lameness in your life, right? Sometimes we're going to experience those things that are lame. And that lameness is sort of apt to keep us from claiming what's ours. And the lameness, you can say, what's the lameness in our life? Well, each of us, you could say, like Mephibosheth, we had the lameness brought on by sorrow. I don't know, but, you know, I've just been kind of waking up to realize a few things over the last number of years. Kind of sometimes a depression, just discouraged, depressed about something. You get bummed out about something. And the enemy uses it to steal your defeat. I mean, to make you live in defeat and steal your victory. To steal what God. And we're not necessarily talking about things. I mean, you know, praise God, I believe it's things. Like she's that illustration, you know. Put a devil in back your big and feet. Can't you see that out there? Got that the chicken wire up. He's standing there, got it all under lock and key. You know, and there's a lot of truth to that. But it's not just things, you know. It's that attitudes of heart. He's still my joy, my victory. You know, causes me to find myself depressed, discouraged, lonely. You know, someone said the other day there was a loneliness in their life, and I tried to encourage my son this when he went off to school. There's gonna be some loneliness. I can remember when I went to college years ago in Abilene, and I'd drive 4 hours from my home, and I would literally cry 2.5 of them back. Because I was so lonely. I didn't like my friends in high school. I had plenty of friends. I mean, you know, matter of fact, I've had to, I don't know if I had to forget it, or sometimes I just let the enemy discourage the word. You know, when you're living for yourself, and you think you're something, well, you're glad to have the wind because you're somebody. You want them all to know you're somebody. Is that right? Well, that's easy to do. I'm telling you, folks, when you think you're somebody. When you come to the Lord, you think, okay, Lord, now what? I'm going to have your power. I have nothing. Come on, Lord, I need to see your power. Yeah. And if you live in defeat, often you get to a discouraging place, depressing place, and the enemy can just hinder your life there. And the Lord wants us to live in victory. I'm asking you to turn to John. I want to read John 16. Sometimes in that place of discouragement, the enemy steals your victory. And instead of reaching out and going outside yourself, because you look and you go, what? You start looking at it the other way. You revert because you're still in that mindset of who I am, somebody, instead of who I am in Christ, King. I'm a child of King. I'm kind of looking at who I am and going, you know, pulling your pockets out, I ain't nothing. You know, walking around like you're nothing. You know, discouraged, bummed, and missing your ambassadorship, missing your call. You know, we all have a call here. God's wanting us to prove that call. You know, we're in need of a tower. Believe that? We're in need of the tower. So the tower to which the righteous can run into and be saved. John 16. I keep talking. John 16, verse 33, I believe. It says this. Jesus says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. You may have peace. You might have peace. In the world. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Do you have another translation? That word tribulation, was it? Got a little rendering of that word, maybe a little expounding a little bit for that. Tribulation, sorrow, sufferings, trouble, trials, lameness, Discouragement. What was the lane that's brought up? Huh?
Could be a lot of things in your relationship.
Could be a lot of things, exactly. I think sometimes we used to have a preacher that I know, he would say, you know, this is just meant for, this is just a partial list. This is just to get you started. You know, there's a whole laundry list of stuff. There's a whole thing that goes in tribulations. It's a variety of them. But in this world, Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you that you, in me, you might have peace. In this world, you're going to have tribulations. You're going to have lameness in your feet. You're going to have discouragement. You're going to be distraught. You find yourself sometimes depressed, hurt, because of hurt, lame. If you think, well, you know, God's wanting to bring us to victory, but sometimes we need to prepare ourselves because there's a fog coming. You ever know fog is sort of like an intermittent kind of thing? It just happens. You don't know. Just out of nowhere. We need to play offense, but sometimes we're going to have to take it back. We're kind of wondering, God, where are you? God, where'd you go? I'm finding myself discouraged. Jesus said, these things I've spoken unto you that you might have peace. I'm trying to come to bring you to peace so that you might be of good cheer. You might be of joy because I overcame because of my victory. That means really what it says, because I've overcome. And as so, he sits at the right hand, and he, by the Spirit of God, wants to connect me to his place of liberty. He just wants me to get in on these things. What are these things? What's he talking about? These things I've spoken that you might have peace. You know, I think he's speaking of nothing short of a prayer life, prayer language. You know, I once said this to my son, and I said, I want you to speak in tongues. I said, you speak in tongues? He said, yeah. I said, well, you know, you should do that. I said, you encourage that the other day. And he said, just building yourself up on your own sort of thing. Mm-hmm. It was 1991-ish, somewhere in there. I was in a little church, where I was pastor, and he was sharing, I always believe the gifts of the Spirit for somebody. It's not me. You know what I'm saying? I always believe in the gifts of the Spirit. You got it, brother. That's great. For years when I was a kid growing up, that was kind of my position until one day I was in he was preaching. And we were in prayer meeting. This is how it happened. We were in one of those prayer meetings. We were all laid out on the floor and just praying. We'd all kind of found this little place out on the floor and just start praying. You know, there was just a handful of people in a room, a little small fellowship in Dallas. And I was living in East Texas at the time, and we spread everything out. We were all laying on the floor. We were praying. And somebody, you know, he's amazed at the sweet sound that would come forth sometimes. Somebody would just sing a little melody. I was just lifting up, singing a great melody in your hearts of the Lord. You know, sometimes we were all there praying. Somebody would pray out. Somebody would enter in. And I'm just sort of a spectator, okay? I mean, you know, it's just kind of a new thing for me. You know, we're all laid out for praying. I believe in prayer. I believe God called me to pray long ago when I was in college. I mean, God made me make a commitment. You know, in that place of loneliness, I found a greater joy in a place of prayer. Calling on his name. Pouring out my heart. By crying out my heart to him and telling him, I found joy. It was worth the ride. It was worth the loneliness for the joy that came. You know what I'm saying? Strange thing, but I wouldn't take anything for that experience. And God taught me how important prayer was, and how it was important for me and him to talk. And so I believed in that. And so we're praying in this group. And the pastor was praying, and this little song would break up. No, 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 little melody, and somebody else would enter in, and these little things would just break out. Just a pretty sound I heard in my life. You couldn't make that up. You couldn't orchestrate that outcome. That's got to be God and how you know, they were making melody in their hearts of the Lord. And he challenged everyone. And he made a statement. He said something like, and I don't get it exactly right, but it challenged me. If you don't have the faith to believe God would give you the gift of tongues, in other words, challenge. You need to have faith. You need to believe God will do that kind of what you ask. And pray and ask him. Because I've been asking, see. I've been looking. I've been talking, I've been kind of thinking, and the Lord was stirring my heart, it was kind of like this, you know, well, God, if you want to do that for me, I'll receive it, but I'm not going to work, anyway, after that experience that night, it was either that time or long, wasn't too long after, I was on my way driving from Dallas to where I was living in East Texas, somewhere halfway between that hour and a half ride. The Lord fell, the Spirit of God fell in my life and began to speak out. In new tongues. I thought, I could have done this years ago. But I just opened up my heart. You know, we need to pray in the Spirit. and seek God in a greater way and pray in the Spirit for Him to do something that I cannot do. It's almost like that work of fasting sometimes, you know? You know, I thought about sometimes if you're looking for God to do something, you know, if you're looking to kind of keep your mind sharp and stay on the edge, well, fast today. Fast today while you're praying to God overcome something. Fast today on that and see if God doesn't give you some victory. You know, sometimes in your weakness throughout the day, you find the next day you've got a little renewed sharpness to want to kind of go at it with a little more, you know, more time, more forcefully. But, you know, and somehow, it's a weird how the Lord would want to do that, but He wants, you know, to find that. He wants to find our communication with Him because it's a communication of peace. These things I've spoken to you that in me, you might have peace. In the world, you'll have tribulation. You're going to have those things. You're going to have that fall, but be a good cheer. I've overcome the world. I want you to live in victory in spite of you, in spite of your lameness, in spite of your perceived lameness. I want to give you the victory in the midst of it. In the midst of it. You know what? If victory is just getting over it, you know, sometimes it's the wrestling and the contending with it that makes you strong. Is that right? You find strength is built when there's muscle resistance. You got some weights pushing against you. The resistance is what creates strength. If you didn't have any resistance, you wouldn't build any kind of strength. Isn't that weird? It's true. Muscular anatomy is true in God. You know, in the Spirit of God. You know, it's not going to be easy sometimes. You're going to find, you know, chocolate cake's going to look a whole lot better than the Spirit of Prayer sometimes. You know what I'm saying? But it's just an analogy. But, you know, one's easier than the other, you know. The other should be getting easier for us, and God wants us to communicate with Him so that we might find a communication that brings peace in our life. You know, John 16:23 is the completion, I think, of, you know, Jesus says, "These things I've spoken to you that you might have peace." Why is He saying these things? What are these things? Look at verse 23 and 24. Jesus says, He's just told His disciples, I want you to see the context of this passage. He's just told His disciples He's leaving. I'm going away. I'm going away. He says, "Now therefore you have sorrow," verse 22, "but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and no man taketh that from you. And in that day you shall ask me, nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask in the Father, ask the Father in my name, He will give it." You know, Ian Bounds writes something to that, "Verily, verily." Jesus is making a point by saying, "Verily, verily, truly, truly." He's been emphatic there. It's important. He's imploring fervency. "Verily, verily, I'm saying to you, you want to call on me. You're going to have to ask the Father in my name, and I'll give it to you. You want back what the enemy's taken from you? You begin to implore the Father. You begin to implore Him, and I bet He gives you the right attack for the enemy. I believe He releases over you the authority and the unction to speak when you and I come with fervency. And that day you'll ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say to you, whatsoever you ask the Father in my name, He will give it." Verse 24. "Hitherto you've asked nothing in my name. Ask and you shall receive, that your joy may be full." He just told them, "These things that I've written to you, so your joy may be full," right? That's what He's talking about. You get that? The context of their sorrow. He's leaving. They're bothered about, wondered. You know, they're sad. He's saying, you know, heretofore, verse 24, heretofore you hadn't had to ask me anything. Think about it. They've been walking with Jesus. He's been doing it all for them. Yeah. You know, they couldn't cast the devil out. Oh, He's put out with them. How long am I going to be with you? He does it for them, right? They've been watching Him for 3 years do all of these things. They've had a little hand and a little measure here and there, but they're bummed and bothered and wondering, who is Jesus? And they're still coming to grips with all of who He is, right? Peter says, "I'll never deny you." He's still about to deny Him, you know? I mean, He's still got some things in His life. They're still kind of a messed up bunch. But they've made a commitment to follow Him. He's saying these things. When you got these things that distress you, I'm saying pray. I'm saying communicate with me and call on me and ask fervently. "Verily, verily, I say, you haven't had to ask me anything heretofore. There's coming a time you're going to have to ask me. You're going to have to be offensive. You're going to have to take it. You're going to have to speak it out. You are going to have to find some boldness for my presence to speak, because it's not all waiting. It's waiting. It's listening. It's being still. Don't miss that. But it's also getting a hold of the unction so that now I got a voice with which to speak." God wants to give us that voice. He wants to give us His joy. "You hadn't asked me anything yet. But there's coming a time I want you to ask." You know, there's one thing that's real important. I think He's saying, if you want it, You know, take it. You know, Balance writes that desire is something you have to ask for. You have to ask God to give you desire. You know, I began practicing that one day. I was really discouraged. I don't know what it was, but it's just, I don't know if it's just a matter of seeking the Lord about something. And I just began saying, God, give me desire. Increase my desire. I'm discouraged. Give me desire. Increase that desire. You know that over the next couple of weeks, or the next few days, rather, for that next week, I began to find desire for Him increased. I mean, it was a marvelous thing, you know? I don't know if you said words, but just kind of a girly word.
Marveling for him.
Marvelous. I mean, it really was. God, He's made, didn't it say, He made His love marvelous to me, David says somewhere. He made it marvelous. You know, He made that desire. God wants to give us the desire, but He wants you to implore Him in fervency and ask for what it is you don't have, so that you might be able to take back what so that you might be able to hold, that was what was on the heart of it, that you might be able to hold on to what, whatever ground God's given you. He says, hold on to it. Don't let the enemy. I mean, you're going to have to, in some sense, be offensive. You're going to keep being offensive, but then you're going to have to, you're going to still have to set up some defense. You are going to have to play some defense. You are going to have to defend that ground. You take it back and it retake that ground, you're going to have to defend it. Be ready to stand your ground. And in order to do that, it's going to require some unction and fervency in places. Sometimes the fog that exists, we need that tower of refuge and strength that gives us a place of strength. It says it's a strong tower, a strong fortress. Well, now I think that maybe another translation uses that we destroy fortresses. Is that right? We destroy fortresses, casting down every imagination. We're destroying fortresses by His name. Well, you can get some more on, but first thing I want you to see is there's a prism. I thought about this message in these three ways. There's a prism, there's a fog, and there's a divine power for peace. Those are the three points. So you get those and meditate on them. Some of this is going to come just by my own meditation, we might say on that, but there's a prism of our own thinking. Be careful of just living in that dimension, that one-sided dimension of looking through your own two eyes, because if you're not real careful, you'll misrepresent what God's intent is. That's why we pray. That's exactly why we pray. Because if you don't, you just live by what you see. You won't live by the hearing faith that's come, by the word that I know, the Jesus that I'm communicating with. The Word comes alive. Jesus was the Word. The Word comes alive to me, but it comes alive by the connection of the Spirit of God. When we pray, the Word comes alive. It jumps off the page, and it's not just the words I read. Oh, that's a good verse, and that's good for somebody, but I begin to personalize it and take it. That's a word for me. God wants to speak that to my heart. He speaks that right to my heart. I can't tell you how many times that I've been right in a particular place, and I come to the Word, and it's like exactly what I'm trying to say. There'd be times where God was stirring my heart years ago, about that time when you know I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was like about that time. It's like everything I would read things I'd read for years. I grew up in the church. I read things. I was a ministerial student in college. I was reading the Word. Everything I would read was coming alive. I mean, everything. It was like God would show me. I mean, I couldn't get my paper out. And it was like God would show me this and show me that. I just see one thing right after the other. You know? God wants to reveal His Word like that. There's a prism that just comes through our own thinking that we must work against. And the Spirit of God works through prayer. The prism of the Spirit of God. You know, the early fathers of this country, we might say, most of them were deists. They believed that God didn't move. He set it all up. He left you to do it. He left you to act it all out. They were self-willed, self-determined, kind of pull your bootstraps up. That's sort of kind of what that kind of this country. You know, there's a place for our labor. Boy, if you think it's all about you and God doesn't care about you, that makes way too much of your part. If you got any of that, that's any of your part. You know, it makes way too much of your part, and it's not. You know why? That's the point I'm trying to make. These weren't men of faith. They weren't men of faith. You want to study men of faith? Look at the Word. Look at the men of faith and the way they did, the way they acted, the things they did when Abraham believed God. You read in Hebrews about how men they did, they acted, they lived their whole life and not didn't see what God said yet. I think they held it. They had it. You know, those are the men that we need to look at. That's the prism that we need to look at to get the counsel God wants to give us. Jesus is saying, I'm leaving, but I'm I want you to call on my name, ask him my name. You're going to have to ask. You're going to have to ask. I thought this yesterday. I thought, beware of getting your theology, of interpreting your theology based upon the culture of the day. That's kind of what goes on in the church. Well, you know, because Jesus, I hear that this, I just really bothers me. But Jesus, he came to this earth. Yeah, he's already come and done that. You know, he's already came to win. You know, Jesus came to earth and he met men right where they are, so that means we ought to all be riding motorcycles or something, or you know, we ought to be doing all the foolishness with the kids, or we ought to be doing all those kinds of things to draw men in, to sugarcoat, candy coat, so that we're going right to where they are. I'm thinking, you know, there's more of a move to sing like, to act like, to talk like, to look like, to smell like the world, that we wind up not being worth the salt. That's probably what we ought to be. I mean, there's too much looking like, you know, I really do. I believe that. I think there'd be people who think I'm totally off out in left field or something like that. I think that's how gooped up our thinking is. To think we got to be something to appeal to man. I went on witnessing the other night, and a young guy that was with me, just a young guy. The lady said, you know, she didn't seem like she was interested in the but he's kind of like, oh, I kind of wish I had this other guy with me. He says, because he was really good at talking them into, you know, talking into something, you know, or really changing her mind. I thought, you know, I think there's a place for persuasion, you know, to persuade man. Paul said that. We persuade him. But I thought, you know, there's a place where here's the gospel, we're here, you know, if you know, what do you know about Jesus? Do you want to receive Jesus? Or, you know, I don't really do that. Or, I'm not, you know, and maybe we could have talked longer with her, but I'm just saying sometimes I'm thinking that the thought sometimes in our zeal is to think there's something I've got that can put that a certain way like nobody else, and they can receive it. Like, no, I think we need to get over ourselves. David and I were talking about that. We need to get over ourselves in this me-driven kind of thing, to think it's all about me. It's all about what I can do, that little gift God's given me. Nobody can do what I can do. Well, sure, he's given us gifts, but, you know, he's given us all gifts. He's asking us to walk in things so that we might know his power, you know, and so that we might be conveyed as well. I think that's what, you know, we met this little lady when we were out while walking, and we knocked on her door. And, you know, in East Texas, you go start knocking on doors, everybody's a Christian. Oh, yeah. I can't believe how many Christians we met. I'm like, oh, I'm coming to my church. You know, I'm always a Christian. Anyway, everybody's Christian. And which is like what I knew, but these couple women, I knew that we were going to get that a lot. But the last door, I said, you know, God gave us that as a gift. The last two doors that we knocked on after we were out, we knocked on one door, and one lady was from Mercy Ship. So she was a missionary type lady. So she was on with the program. Oh, well, I appreciate what you're doing. Kind of like, I don't see a lot of people doing that much anymore, but I, you know, she was good. She was a blessing to us, you know. Anyway, which I don't think is any mistake, that maybe she was the next two doors down from this lady the next lady we stopped. I thought, well, there's something significant there, because if we ever need that lady, she's right two doors down to be the aid. She had already rendered aid, because apparently when we got to this lady, there was a lady down the way that had already given this little lady who was from Cambodia. She couldn't speak English, you know, and I thought, like, we felt like complete, you know, we knock on the door. We want to know, do you know Jesus? You know, we're just trying to put it as simple as we can. You know, what do you know about Jesus? Jesus wants you to receive him. And we began talking. Well, she couldn't hold, she couldn't communicate with us. I saw her child back there in the back, and they had playing on a little iPad, laptop. I mean, well, you know, my wife teaches in school, so I know sometimes people who come can't speak English, their kids can. So they communicate, talk on the phone, and they get messages to the kids. So I said, have your son, your daughter, have them look up Bible, you know, in the Gospels. You begin reading, and they can explain what we're saying. I don't want to look at the Word. She goes out in her deal, she's all excited. She goes out, she grabs a little book. It's a Bible in Cambodian. Somebody, it's a few doors, they'd already been ministered to her and given her that when we showed up. And you know, we prayed for her. What started out feeling completely foolish because we couldn't communicate with her, we wound up believing, you know, this is a gift. God gave us a gift here. And she let us pray for her and pray. We prayed the Holy Spirit would minister to her. We pointed her, one of the gals with me, I wouldn't have thought to do this, but she looked up, she counted, you know, and she found John. She pointed the lady to her. She said, we want you to read here. Began reading in John. And then we said, you read here, I believe the Holy Spirit, we're going to pray the Holy Spirit will enlighten your heart and show you everything we're talking. She only little business in town. We prayed for her, walking away from there. I said, you know, God gave us that as a gift. A gift to show us, you know, everybody's Christian, not everybody. You know, everybody doesn't need, somebody does. does. Somebody might. So, you know, God, I don't know really why I shared that, but just to say the Lord wants us to ask Him, why did I share that?
Somebody needed it.
Somebody needed it, yeah. Amen. There's a fall that sometimes Jesus says you've got to pray against. You know, that you could say a good title for this message, there's a fog in need of a tower. You know, there's a fog in need of a tower. I think that would be fitting, you know, that God wants us to see that tower is for our benefit. We need to communicate with the tower. I think I remember that story you told me the last time we were here about being in that real thick fog. I shared that with myself. It was so thick, you know, that fog, how thick it was. You know, at some point, you know, you might find yourself in a fog. You used to get to stop the car just to be able to see. There's a fog of war. There's a fog, you know, if you want to engage the enemy, you're going to probably come up out of fog. There's a fog in there in that place that he's going to bring on you. Discouragement and all of those things, and you have to rehash that. But you know, God tells Solomon this in 2 Chronicles 7:14. He says, you know, even if, and he told him this, it was in the night. It was at a nighttime place. Turn there. 2 Chronicles, I believe 7:14. If you get it, just read it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. God tells this to Solomon in the night. You know, they were worshiping the temple and ushering the presence of God in. God makes a statement. I think it's a statement about the fog. I think that's what Jesus is talking about when he says to his disciples, these things I've spoken to you, that you're going to have some tribulation, but I've spoken. I believe that's what Jesus is talking about, the fog. There's a fog. Fog of discouragement. But I'm telling you to ask. I'm telling you to ask on my name. There's a fog, but I'm telling you there's coming fog. I'm telling you to ask and call on my name. 2 Chronicles 7:14, you got to read it. The night communication to Solomon. What does God say? 7:14, I believe.
And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and keep my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal them.
The scripture right above it, would it be 13? What does it say? You mentioned pestilence? Yep.
If I shut up the heavens so that there is no rain, or if I command the locusts to devour the land, or if I send pestilence among my people.
You see, God does that. God does that for our testing. Paul said, you know, what about the fire? Are you worried about the fire? Your ordeal that comes? But, you know, there are some things that are meant for our testing. Sometimes we don't. You know what? We need to learn to endure those things. We need to learn to endure the fog, because if we don't learn to endure the fog, we won't overcome. I mean, you know, we really will think that deliverance simply is someone prayed for me. That's a dangerous place. I thought about that this morning. It's a dangerous place, living your whole experience. David and I were talking about that. You know, sometimes preachers and following certain preachers. I said, it's good. We need the preaching. But, you know, be careful just following one man or following one thing. Because if he's really got, and if he is preaching the gospel, and he really is worthy of your, you know, your respect and all of that, I believe men are. I believe we ought to give respect to where it's due. But get it the same way he got it. If he got it, it's from God. Yes, it's available to you too.
Yeah.
We need to learn to overcome that. It's a dangerous place to set up the instance in life that you can come here and pray. I'm thinking over about just 2 or 3 times. You know, if you ain't getting this thing after a while, you got a problem here.
That's right.
There's a problem when you leave here, not a problem when you come. Yeah. You got a problem when you come too, because you think it's just somebody else can pray for me. It's over with. You know what? That's not an instance for victory. That's an instance. If God gives you deliverance and defeat, you got more defeat coming about to come. 7 more worse, right? It's the worst kind of deal, according to the Word. So we ought to hold our ground and move forward so that the next time they get something else. Hopefully it's completely something else. I don't know about you, but we tend to want to keep going around the mountain, don't we? Lord deliver us. Because He wants us to overcome. Sometimes He sends, even if I send pestilence, you could say, or the fog, you just use that analogy. Even if I sin that, the Bible says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves, that's the problem, is we don't humble ourselves. We don't humble ourselves. If we would humble ourselves and pray, God would just be about to break out on you with the answer. He would give you the word of life. He would give you, fill your mouth with what to say to the enemy. God wants us to humble ourselves. If my people will humble themselves and pray and ask, I will turn from heaven, heal their land. Turn from their wicked ways, I'll turn and I will heal. In the fall, God says, I'll heal. Jesus says, these things I've spoken to you so that you might have peace. in the world, you're going to have some struggle. And even if I sin, be a good cheer because I've overcome the world. I've overcome the world. The enemy is simply for your, the enemy, if you can believe it, is simply for your benefit. Because you didn't have, if you didn't have a war, somebody to war against you, you wouldn't find any strength. You would think it's all about dancing around the end zone. And you never found a place of overcoming in this life, which is based on faith. Your faith wouldn't be strengthened. You wouldn't be encouraged if you didn't have to do. And I thought, there's a divine power for peace. John 16:33, these things I've spoken, so we have peace. It's holding. Turn to Psalm 23:5. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. It's in the presence of the enemies. You know, how would you and I know his power or find his strength if there wasn't a contrast? You know, in that contrast. I mean, the table is prepared in the presence of my enemies. That means there's a, you know, there's a, to be powerful, to be a powerfully mighty army, you know, there needs to be an opposing force. There needs to be a clash. There's a battle in order to, there has to be a battle to establish victory, right? You know, victory is established in the battle, the opposing force. You know, in the presence of our enemies, he's prepared a table. You know, I wrote this down. Victory will not be found where no enemy is defeated. You know, you never find victory. You may think, well, Lord God, I'm really feeling good in this thing. You know, and you never know, the enemy's beating your brains out over here, but you're looking pretty good over here, and here, but he's stealing from you over here. There's a back door. No, he's robbing you out the back door, but everything looks good on the front. That's about the way we generally, that's about modern Christianity. Everything looks good on the front while he's stealing from the back. You know, victory will not be found where there's no, victory will never be found where no enemy is defeated. It's important that the enemy is defeated. It's important that in the face of our enemy, it's important that in the presence of my enemies, he prepares a table with me with oil and a cup that runs over. It sounds like joy to me. Jesus said, these things I've written you, your joy might be made full. I might fill you up. You know, you're going to have tribulation, but I've written so that you might have joy in the place of that. That you might have victory in the place of that. You know, turn to, I believe it's 2 Peter. Turn to 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. 2 Peter 1. I don't know what 2 Peter 1, I believe it's verse 1 and 2. His divine power is multiplied in knowledge. You know, there's a divine power for peace. Jesus says, these things I've written you so that you might have peace, right? These things. All that he said. What's available to us in prayer. It's available. In other words, there's a knowledge base that's available to us. Is that these things? It's a knowledge base. Let's read 1 Peter. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace, according to this, grace and multiplied, grace and peace are multiplied in the place of knowledge. When we know God, when we know Jesus, we have a relationship with him. That's the prayer thing. That's the Spirit of God thing that connects us. That relationship causes grace and peace to be multiplied through knowledge. That's what Peter's saying. He goes on to say, I've given you every, according to his divine power, he's given us all things pertaining to life and God. These things I've given you, I've written you, so that you might have peace. According to his divine power, he's given us everything pertaining to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who has called us to glory and virtue. So precious present promises, there's all kinds of things, but in other words, it's multiplied in that place of knowledge when we pray. So it's important that we pray. Because knowledge, do you realize, if we realize that the grace that God would have for me, you know, prayer is going to make you more graceful. It's going to give you more peace. It's going to give you more power. You know, there's a divine power in that peace. When God can bring peace and grace in our life, that's what grace is. You know? I like to say it is unmerited favor, but it's a whole lot more than that. It's not just that, you know, unmerited favor. I mean, it's not just a gift. I mean, it's the strength and power of Almighty God that if we fail to take and appropriate in our life, well, he gave it to us. He gave you a gift. It's like I gave you some money in the bank. Well, I went up there and got it. I mean, I just fell off work. But, well, yeah, he gave it to you, but you got to go up there and draw it out. Divine power. he wants to give us that. Look at Acts 11. our knowledge is expanded by the Holy Spirit available to us. I refer to Acts, I'll just refer to it this way. You know, Paul and Barnabas, they were marked out how? By prayer, right? They're praying, mark out Paul and Barnabas, and as they were praying, that's how they got the word on Paul and Barnabas. You know? Mark out these men, where it says, Peter, through prayer, his knowledge was expanded to Cornelius' house. Is that right? Place of prayer. He's caught up in a trance, and all his knowledge is expanded over there, over Cornelius' place. Knowledge was expanded with him. It was through that place of prayer is the point I'm trying to make. It was in a place of prayer that Ananias got to go ahead. He was worried about Saul. I heard about this. He's my chosen. He's my vessel. He's somebody. It was in a place of prayer. That's the point of just saying that and how important, you know, prayer is in our life. God wants to expand the knowledge base that he wants to give us. You know, sometimes I think, and I really believe this, you may completely disagree with me, but I've been to school. I've been a man's books learner. I got plenty of education. I don't need any more. I finally got to a place that I keep going for it. If I thought I'd do something, you know, you could call me doctor. You know, I thought, well, it'd be good. But, you know, that isn't it. I got plenty of that. And I don't really believe it's a man's education or woman. Thank you. I mean, God, if I can't get it from you, it's kind of like, was it Abraham who said to the king, he said he was going to give you something? He said, far be it from me, I don't want anything from you. Far be it from me that you say, I made Abraham rich. That's been my heart for a long time. Far be it from me. I want to hear from God, and I want him to speak it to my heart, and if he's saying it, I want to do it, and if he's going to use you to finally cause me to come on up to it, well then, glory to his name. But I don't want to be somebody else's knowledge because, you know, knowledge puffs up. I see this. I don't care who you are. If you had education, you didn't. We all tend to want, you know, we want to aspire. And, you know, the Bible talks about aspiring to the office of overseer. So that's a godly thing. It's not wrong. But I guess the point, you know, how we need God in a place of prayer. You know, it was the all-night prayer meeting that changed Jacob forever and those around him. He saved him from Esau's wrath. Is that right? Coming back to the place, he spent all night wrestling in prayer. But it delivered him and everybody with him. You know, there was a delivering hand that came in that place of prayer. It was Samuel's all night of prayer that brought forth a David. It was that who could be salvation. You know, it was in the night watches that God spoke to Solomon about, if I bring pestilence, you know, I have the power to heal. I have the power to deliver. You know, the all-night prayer meeting. God wants us to pray. That's the point. Because there's a fog in need of a tower. You don't have one. You won't be long. There'll be a fog, but God says, I want these things. I want you. These things I said so that you might pray and begin to ask. You didn't have to ask me anything. In some sense, I think he'd say that to all of us. Well, maybe sometimes we haven't had to ask him. God said, I want you to grow up. I want you to call on me. I want you to ask. I want you to prove and see. Taste and see that I'm good, and I will do it. Prove me in this place. You know, I wrote this down. I said it once or twice. God, bring an offensive move. Bring us to an offensive move. It's been said over and over again. Bring us to offensive moves and measures that cause us to stand the ground that's been taken. Enable us to stand our ground and hold our ground. I just want us to close just with a prayer. You know, to bind the prism of our own thinking, you know, to bind that fog of confusion against us, and to bind us from the power of the enemy and bind us to his thoughts, our thinking. You know, let's pray with me. Lord, we thank you that we can call on your name. Lord, we want to bind the prism of our own thinking. We bind that thinking of man as the playground of the devil, the prism of our own thoughts. The foolish notions of thinking too much of ourselves, of thinking all about ourselves and not thinking anything about you. We bind the foolish thoughts and prison of our own thinking in Jesus' name. We bind the devil and the lies of the devil over that place. We hinder and stop up the devil's playground right now. The places that he's hindered our thinking because we just listen to the lies that are there. We loose on us the mind of Christ. In Jesus' name, we loose the mind of Christ and ask the Lord, give us your mind, your thinking. Lord, I thank you this is available to us when we pray. So we ask that you bind the fog of confusion in our life, the lameness. It's brought on by our own lameness, maybe just by our own lameness or just not even a fault of our own. Let us let this discouraged and hurt. I bind that fog of confusion, the discouragement, being disheartened. I bind the depression. I bind the discouragement. I bind the hurt. I bind the wounds. I bind that fog of confusion that would work against your people right now. I bind that fog. I don't know what it is, but for the remaining bunch. But Lord, we ask you, for those who've left, you know their hearts. You know how the enemy is trying to work that fog on their life. Out of their own lameness, imagined or real or by their own making or just by your own hand. But Lord, in Jesus' name, we ask you to use that fog for your glory. We command the fog to be moved off in Jesus' name. We bind the fog of confusion. We bind the spirit of confusion.
Yes.
The mind of confusion that comes to confuse your people about your word. To think of what we know about God without looking at your word or coming to a place of prayer to find out who you are. We bind that foolishness. We bind our own thinking. And Lord, we lose your mind. We lose the spirit of prayer to fill us up with the peace of Christ. We lose the spirit of prayer. Lord, we ask you, enable us to pray. Lord, enable us to, if we don't speak, Lord, in tongues, you would enable that gifting in our life. Enable the giftings, Lord, as you would. I pray for every person who says yes, Lord, to go home. Lord, if they have or have, they wouldn't be a have or have it, they'd be a have. And Lord, you might fall upon them, cause them to open their lips and cause wonderful things to come out, and Lord, the sweetness hit their heart and their life right. Show them the only barometer of that speech being good or false is the condition of their own heart for you. I pray that you cause them to get it right so they can trust what comes from their mouth. And not worry and fear about what comes out of their mouth, is this God or not. And trust what comes from their mouth because they get their heart and life right. And open their lips, Lord, that you might speak deep things and you might enable power and strength and a path of peace for their feet. And we bind all the power of the enemy in Jesus' name. And Lord, we loose every place the enemy, you know every scheme, you know the pitfall, we bind those places. We set up traps and we hinder those places and squash them in Jesus' name. Lord, I believe there's been a sweet spirit this entire camp, and we're not only praying for ourselves, we're praying for those that are here. You know those places, and we ask that you would squash those places in Jesus' name. There's been a sweet spirit, a sweet song, a sweet presence of your name here, that strong place. Lord, we ask you to set up a strong barrier, a strong place, a strong tower right near that place of the enemy, right near that stronghold of the enemy that finds no more strength in Jesus' name. We bind all of his power, and Lord, we loose the multiplied knowledge of Jesus. We loose the spirit of prayer and a multiplied knowledge of grace and peace and the knowledge of Jesus, Lord, we multiply to every person who's been a part of this, who's heard it, who's within earshot. We ask you to be multiplied to them, that a new strategy would come up over their life. It would be the work of God to ferret out every device of the enemy and to vanquish his power. Lord, we ask you all remnants of his power would be vanquished, and that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would go to ferret out the enemy that's left, that, Lord, we might stand our ground in Jesus' name. And Lord, I loose an anointing that comes to your table. It's a cup. It's a cup that overflows. It's an anointing. I loose that anointing in Jesus' name. It's an anointing from your table, an anointing, Lord, my head. Lord, we receive that anointing in Jesus' name and cause our cup to overflow. I pray that you cause us, every person, as we would begin to think on you, as we begin to call on your name, as you cause the Spirit to rise up within us, Lord, to speak your name, that anointing to come, that our cup would run over with joy in the overflow of knowing that, Lord, even if I haven't experienced it and my whole day's been like defeat, I find a place of joy and victory because you overcome, and you're saying, I want you to stand your ground and blow out the fog in Jesus' name. We trust you with that. We thank you that you're enabled. You're the great enabler, Lord. We ask you, Lord. We ask you, Lord, as it says, we activate your power. We activate your mind, in Jesus' name. Lord, they be activated in the lives of the believing. Lord, you make yourself, show yourself strong to every person remaining who is on the road. Show yourself strong. Well, I thank you by faith. I can ask you to be that. Show yourself strong before the end of the day, Lord. Show yourself strong and mighty and powerful. And we thank you for that. We thank you by faith. You're able to do that. But I thank you that you are not constrained. Sometimes people want to, we're not constrained by the words of men. I thank you that we serve a God who's bigger than that. I thank you, Lord, we confirm and try and speak to every heart. Show them your power. We bless you and thank you today. We ask you, Lord, for just thank you for the hands that prepare the food. And thank you for the help in the kitchen. And thank you for the labor of love that goes forth to make this place possible, to make it happen. Lord, there's much that goes on that we don't ever see. Lord, I pray that you give us some insight into all that goes on that we don't ever see. Lord, I mean, the grass didn't mow itself. The rooms didn't clean themselves. Lord, so much went and the food was prepared. And Lord, I ask you to pour back a spirit of strength to those, Lord, here who we leave behind. And Lord, they would be encouraged. And Lord, you'd fill up every discouraged place. And Lord, that they might smile because, Lord, you're there. Because of the sweet spirit that's been here, Lord, throughout this place, this camp. We leave that deposit in Jesus' name, that the sweet spirit would remain.
Yeah.
That the sweet spirit would put a smile in the face of every adverse thing. Lord, to put a smile and hope in you. We thank you. Great is our hope. Great is our hope when we cast our cares on you, we look to you and we pray. Thank you. Enable our prayers in Jesus' name. Bless the food. Please, amen.
Amen. This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.